Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to 1 John. We are beginning chapter 3 today. You'll recall that John has said the command that we are to focus on is love, and that theme is going to continue through this entire epistle. But where does that love come from? How are we to love like that? 1 John chapter 3, this is God's word. "See what great love the Father has given us, that we should be called God's children. And we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet been revealed. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You know that he was revealed so that he might take away sins, and there is no sin in him. Everyone who remains in him does not sin. Everyone who sins has not seen him or known him. Children, let no one deceive you. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who commits sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God was revealed for this purpose, to destroy the devil's works. Everyone who has been born of God does not sin because his seed remains in him. He's not able to sin because he has been born of God. This is how God's children and the devil's children become obvious. Whoever does not do what is right is not of God, especially the one who does not love his brother or sister. For this is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Unlike Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his deeds were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers and sisters. The one who does not love remains in death. Everyone who hates his brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we have come to know love. He laid down his life for us. We should also lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has this world's goods and sees a fellow believer in need, but withholds compassion from him, how does God's love reside in him? Little children, let us not love in word or speech, but in action and in truth. This is how we will know that we belong to the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows all things. Dear friends, if our hearts don't condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive whatever we ask from him, because we keep his commands and do what is pleasing in his sight. Now this is his command, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he has commanded us. The one who keeps his commands remains in him, and he in him. And the way we know that he remains in us is from the Spirit he has given us. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. The chapter opens with the words, "See what kind of love, what manner of love, what great love the Father has given us." The phrase there, "Behold what love, what wondrous love is this," is a very old song. If you wanted to get another way of translating that, I'm told by those who really do know Greek well, that basically a straightforward translation would be, "What country is this from? Where does this come from?" The whole idea is, this is a foreign thing. This is not the kind of thing you run into every day. This is not natural human love. This is amazing. Behold, what great love the Father has shown us, making us his children. What amazing love God has shown to us that we should be called children of God. Do you realize that if you are a child of God, that means he has done something absolutely extraordinary? If you are thinking, "Well, of course, who could resist my charm?" You're not saved, okay? You're not even close to being saved. But if you think, "How could God love me?" Bingo. That's what makes it amazing, that God would love us. If you feel unworthy, congratulations. If you feel amazed, you're on the right track. Behold, see, what great love the Father has given us, that we should be called God's children. And we are. We are. Let it sink in. God, the creator of the universe, has made you part of his family, and you're not a low-level employee in the family. Okay? "Well, I'm just glad I have a warm place to work." Well, good, but it's so much better than that. Do you understand? When God makes you part of his family and says, "You can come and talk to me anytime, 24/7, 365, because I love you. You're my child." Doesn't get better than that. Because you realize, yeah, my DNA impacts my height and my propensity toward weight and my intelligence and other stuff, but my opportunities are way beyond my DNA. God is my father. And whatever he has planned for me is good. God loves me so much that he sent Jesus to save me. And if that is true, and he is guaranteed that he is at work in me, making me like Jesus because he loves me, then that absolutely changes my approach to schooling. It changes my approach to work. It changes my approach to strangers and family alike. Everything is changed by knowing God as my Father. Consider what great love the Father has given us, that we should be called God's children. And we are. If you have not been born again, I plead with you while you have the opportunity, while you're still drawing breath, ask God to save you. But when you ask God to save you, he doesn't just forgive your sins, he makes you part of his family. He places within you the spirit of adoption by which you can call him Daddy. We are. The reason the world doesn't know us is that it didn't know him. Dear friends, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet been revealed. But we know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him as he is. If you are a Christian, God is at work in you right now, changing you. Changing you. I want to be changed. I don't want to stay just the way I am. Let me tell you, there are some things about me that are changing that I do not regard it as the work of the Holy Spirit, okay? The aches and pains and aging process, all that stuff, that change is very evident in me. But there's other change in me. I care about people that I would not care about if it were not for God working in me. If you knew my natural propensities, if you understood my innate personality, you would realize, wow, God's done a work of grace in him. I used to want the biggest piece of pie. I used to want the biggest piece of chicken. I used to want the most and the best and it all for me. And even if I don't need it now, I might want it later, so no, you can't have it. That was my personality. Now, I love giving. I actually prefer it to getting. I'm more concerned about making sure that others are taken care of than I am about taking care of me. Do you understand that that's almost disorienting for me? I have to stop and realize every now, why am I thinking like this? Why? Oh, because of God. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And when he comes to live in you, you start loving. You love people because you love God, because he loved us. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Then he talks about sin, and if all we had was this little section right here translated in this way, we would reach the conclusion that anybody who ever sins is not saved, but that's not what it says. And the footnote is better than the... If you look at your Bibles there, the footnote is better than what they have in the column itself. In verse 6 of chapter 3, everyone who remains in him does not sin, and everyone who sins has not seen him or known him. Better translated, keeps on sinning. Likewise, in verse 8, the one who commits sin, footnote, or practices sin, is of the devil. Well, how do you know that? Pastor Wood, it sounds like you're just trying to soften it up and not just accept what it says. Well, I know that because, first of all, the Greek here is a little ambiguous as far as whether it's an event or practice. And the reason I would say the better translation is practice is not just to give me wiggle room. It's because when I read over in Galatians the fact that Peter, after he had been born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and used by God as an apostle, Peter, when the folks from James were coming down, was so intimidated, that was cowardice, that he withdrew fellowship from the Gentile believers and would no longer eat with them. That was hypocrisy. And the apostle Paul had to confront him to his face because his sin was leading others, including Barnabas, astray. So you've got the apostle Peter as a Christian sinning grievously and needing to be publicly rebuked and brought back. Well, that comforts me. Not because it means, you know, I can go and do all kinds of evil things, but because what it means is that if I sin, it doesn't mean I'm not saved. It means I need to repent. This is written after something else. Go back to chapter 1, verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Beginning of chapter 2, my little children, I'm writing you these things so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He himself is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for ours, but also of the whole world. So what is he saying here in chapter 3? Well, certainly not something that contradicts what he said before, and certainly not something that contradicts what happened over in Galatians. So what is this saying? It's not saying that a Christian never sins. It's saying a Christian doesn't live in sin, doesn't remain in sin, doesn't practice sin, certainly doesn't identify themselves that way. If you are a child of God, when you sin, you will be grieved because the Holy Spirit is grieved. You'll be troubled by what you've done. You'll ask God to forgive you and to cleanse you, and he will. But if you just say, oh, well, you know, what the heck, forget it. I'm just going to go ahead. There's no way to avoid getting dirt on you. Might as well just be dirty. Well, then something's very wrong with you. So, this passage says, a person who lives in sin, committing sin, practicing lawlessness, that person is not saved. Remember we said we were going to talk about vital signs? Here's one of the vital signs. If your lifestyle, if your way of life, your daily practice is just immersed in sin. You embrace it, you like it, you want to do more of it. You need to realize that's not just a sign of spiritual sickness, it is a sign of spiritual death. A Christian shares God's hatred for sin. You hate sin, you love what is good. Does that mean you're not tempted? No, it doesn't mean you're not tempted. Jesus was tempted in all points just as we are, yet without sin. It is not a sin to be tempted. Don't let the devil put you on a guilt trip because he hit you with temptation. But please understand that if you're going looking for temptation, if you're trying to find opportunities where maybe you could get away with doing something you know you're not supposed to do, that is a warning sign. Everyone who's been born of God does not practice sin because his seed, that is God's seed, remains in him. He's not able to practice sin or to keep on sinning because he's been born of God. This is how God's children and the devil's children become obvious. In other words, this is a major vital sign. This is how God's children and the devil's children become obvious. Whoever does not do what is right is not of God. Especially the one who does not love his brother or sister. How you doing in the love category? How you doing when it comes to loving your brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you genuinely care about them? Does it matter to you how they're doing? He says, don't just let it be words. If you've got plenty and they are in need and you say, oh, well, too bad, then the love of God is not in you. We should also lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters, verse 16. If anyone has this world's goods and sees a fellow believer in need, but withholds compassion from him, how does God's love reside in him? Little children, let us not love in word or speech, but in action and truth. This is how we'll know that we belong to the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. What it's saying is if sometimes you feel like, boy, I'm still so far from the goal of being like Jesus, who laid down his life for me, I just feel condemned sometimes. If you feel that way sometimes, you're not alone. This was written for you. This says it is not uncommon to question your salvation. But how can you be reassured? Recognize the fact that God is at work in you. He is at work in you. Whenever our hearts condemn us, this is how we'll know that we belong to the truth and reassure our hearts before him. Because God is greater than our hearts and he knows all things. And dear friends, if our hearts don't condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive whatever we ask from him because we keep his commands and do what is pleasing in his sight. Now this is his command, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he commanded us. You know what is at the core of real Christianity? It's your relationship with Jesus and your relationship with your brothers and sisters. That's what it comes down to. All the other stuff, all the other rules are an expression of that love. If you love God and if you love others, then you don't lie and steal and commit adultery. You don't covet other people's stuff. Why would you want to have it instead of them if you really love them? You ought to be able to rejoice when they get it. Are you happy when somebody else gets a good grade? Are you happy when somebody else wins the race? At the heart of what amounts to real Christianity is whether or not you trust Jesus and love your brothers and sisters. If you say you love Jesus, but you don't love your brothers and sisters, it's phony baloney. If you say, well, I'm just going to be nice to everybody, I'm just going to love people, but it's not flowing from the love of God in you, it's not going to hold up. But if you are in love with him because of the love he's shown to you, then more and more and more and more, you're going to live a life of love. You're going to care about what happens to other people. You're going to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. You're going to celebrate other people's victories, and you don't have to come in first anymore. The one who keeps his commands remains in him, and he in him. And the way we know that he remains in us is from the Spirit he's given us. Now, chapter 4 is going to talk more about the Spirit that he's given us. But I want you to understand this. Love. 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 You're to love God because he loved you. and you're to love one another. Not just with words, but with the way you live.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.